I'm still here. I went home that Christmas intending that I just needed to kick the heroin, because the heroin was my problem. Nothing else was my problem. If I could just kick the dope, I'd be good to go. And I detoxed. My mom talked me into going to rehab. I went to rehab, and I carried some big reservations with me to rehab. And the whole time in rehab, I argued with everybody in NA. I was still going to be able to drink and even do some coke. You know, I just thought the dope was my problem. And I decided to go from rehab to a halfway house here in Johnstown. And I'm originally from Lock Haven, Pennsylvania. And I came to the halfway house in Johnstown, and I don't know what happened. The best friend that came with me, that we thought we were still going to go out and drink together, she left AMA and I stayed, by the grace of God. I didn't realize until I went to my very first NA meeting, which is now my home group, my actual outside NA meeting, that the drugs are just a symptom of my disease. You know, and I didn't want to, like, face that. The drugs were my problem. You know, I finally let go of my reservations. I stayed clean, but I kept holding on to the fact that I didn't need to change anything else. You know, I moved in with a guy right away, even though they said, don't do that. You know, I moved in with a guy right away, and I still thought, let the man take care of me. You know, he supported me. He paid all the bills. I didn't work. I still had all my old behaviors, every single one of them. Like, I didn't change a damn thing about myself. And then a week before my 1 year anniversary, my life, like, fell apart. You know, he was smoking crack, and I knew it, but I denied it. Like, lost the apartment, lost everything, except I managed to hold on to my clean time. And I'm sitting there going, well, what the hell is the problem? You know, I'm clean. Why is my life falling apart? And then I did that thing, like they said, you know, get a sponsor, work some steps. And I started doing that. I mean, I had a sponsor, but I didn't use her. I read the books, but I didn't take in anything that I was reading. You know, in my first day in rehab, I read the basic text front to back. My second day in rehab, I couldn't tell you what I read. You know, I started applying the program to my life, and things started to go better for myself. For, you know, my life, everything started to change around, and good things started to happen. And then I noticed that even when bad things happened, I was able to cope with it and deal with it a lot better, you know. And I put off my fourth step for almost a whole nother year. I was, like, terrified of it. And finally, my sponsor said to me, you know, you weren't afraid to put a needle in your arm or a pipe in your mouth, you know, or cop those drugs from some stranger. She said, you weren't afraid to do that. Why are you so afraid to take a look at yourself? And I got the It Works How and Why out, you know, and I actually started working on my fourth step. And I realized it wasn't all the bad things about me and all my defects and all the bad stuff that I did in my past. It was also about who I am as a person, what I really want out of life, you know, my hopes and it even says your hopes, your dreams, and where they may have gone astray. And everything started clicking for me, and it dawned on me that everything I thought I had wanted out of life was not what I had wanted at all. It's not who I really was. It was, you know, there was so much more out there for me. And, you know, I'm like, I have a higher power now, and I'm into the higher power thing. But in the beginning, I pretty much abused that part of this program. You know, God will provide for me what I cannot do for myself. Well, like I said, early on in the program, I thought if I just stayed clean and didn't put any footwork into anything, that everything was just going to be taken care of for me. You know, and I have a long way to go. You know what I'm saying? I'm only working on 3 years. I have a lot of changes still to make. You know, I still make really bad mistakes, really bad decisions. The biggest thing is now, because of this program, 9 out of 10 times I'm able to, like, face up to my mistakes instead of run from them. You know, I'm able to be an adult about things I actually work a job now, you know. I pay some bills. I had to change every little thing from the inside out. It's like turning your shirt inside out when you're doing laundry. It is, for me, it is no different than that. Because the person I was before, that person will definitely use again. You know, I never knew what I wanted to do with myself, you know. I just always thought I wanted to be like this housewife and just get taken care of my whole life. And I thought that was what I wanted. And I realized that I was never happy with that because that's not what I wanted out of life. You know, and now I do have it that sometime in the future, you know, I want to get into some type of counseling. I want to share what was given to me and not just in the meetings, you know. There's so much I've gained from actually working some steps in my life, you know, and some changing some thoughts and behaviors, and not any of it has cost me a penny or anybody else a penny. I'm talking about the relationship that I now have with my family. You know, that was given back to me when they had written me off and were done with me. You know, I have my mom and my dad and my two sisters. The friends I have in my life to this day, oh my God. Like this lady said earlier when she was sharing, they don't expect drugs, they don't expect money, they don't expect sex. You know, they're there to hug me when I'm sad and hug me when I'm glad, no matter what the circumstances are. You know, and like I said, I still make some really bad decisions and I do some really stupid stuff. And I'm to the point where I don't any longer blame it on my disease. Well, I'm an addict. I got defects. I'm also a clean addict who has some steps, some principles, and some traditions in her life to go by to try to make the better decisions, to try to do things differently, to try to turn that shirt right side out for a change. You know, I look back and I used to beat myself up for all the shit I did in my addiction. And when I heard the first step for the first time when I went to rehab, I was like, oh, I'm powerless. Oh, great. Nothing's my fault. I can still keep screwing up, but nothing's my fault because I have this disease. It doesn't work that way for me. I had to learn that the hard way. I had to lose everything once again while I'm clean to understand that, you know, this disease is a part of me that I'm going to carry with me, whether I move to Johnstown, whether I move back to Lock Haven, you know, whether I move into Europe or wherever I go, I'm going to always take me with me. And that it's always going to start with me and end with me, you know. And this program has taught me how to live life even when it hurts so bad. Even when it hurts so bad that I don't know what else to do, you know, because there's, in the little bit of time that I have, you know, I've buried a lot of people. You know, I wasn't even going to come this weekend. You know, I was going to go to yet again another friend's viewing tonight. I was seriously contemplating it today. This friend was from the program. And I thought, you know what? I made a commitment. I need to keep that commitment. And that's what he would want me to do. It's, life on life's terms, you know. I mean, we go to meetings and I hear people share and I think, wow, you know what? Like, whatever I'm going through really isn't that bad because this person over here has got it so much worse. And if I can be there for this person, that helps me with myself and my problems. You know, if I would have stayed home this weekend, I would have isolated, I would have wallowed, I would have cried some more. And I'm here, and because I'm here, I'm actually healthier on the inside because of this program. You know what I'm saying? I have all my friends around me. I have people I haven't seen in months. They're all here. I have people I haven't seen in years. They're here. You know, I mean, just sitting around the campfire with everybody. And there's no beer up at the tent. You know what I'm saying? There's nobody falling off a cliff because they're drunk. I mean, there's nobody ripping somebody off I mean, we're just here and we're enjoying life together. Because at one point in time, we were all in the same position in life, you know? And to get to share my life with such wonderful people today, I only have that because of this program. You know, and to me, I don't care if you have 24 hours clean or 24 years clean. You're just as important to my recovery. You know, somebody said earlier about learning from others' experiences and their mistakes. And she was absolutely right, and that's something I hold on to. And I'll catch myself slacking. I'll put my steps down. I'll put my books down. I'll go a couple days without reading my Just for Today. And I'm a big ball of extra grumpy, extra hormonal, you know, misery. It's just, this program has given me so much more than just being clean. You know what I'm saying? I can celebrate my birthdays now and wake up and remember that everything that happened the night before. We can watch a football game and remember who won. You know, there are a lot of times that, trust me, I'm an addict. There's a lot of times in life when I think, oh, wow, just one bag wouldn't hurt. One bag would feel real good right about now. I didn't stop at one bag before. I highly doubt I'll stop at one bag this time either. Or one bottle or one beer or one whatever. Whatever the case may be. And I have a full understanding of that now. You know, I'm careful of how many Tylenol I take. Because me, I'll take 6 Tylenol instead of 2. I'm an addict. I gotta be mindful of almost everything I do on a daily basis. And I know for me that if I apply a little bit of each step on a daily basis, which I usually do without even thinking about it now, it's gonna end up a good day no matter what happened. You know, no matter how many times I stumble and fall along the way, I have the program to pick me back up, dust me off, and get me spiritually fit again. But I know if I put down my steps and I walk away from my sponsor and I walk away from my commitments and my service work, that's all. It's all going to go down the drains. I'll end up with that needle in my arm again. Everybody, at the beginning of every meeting, it dawned on me today, we always say a moment of silence for the still sick and suffering. And it dawned on me, what about the moment of silence for the addict that will never wake up again? Because that addict could have been me. And why God chose to keep me around, I really don't know. The things I've done and the places I've been, there are some days when I lose a friend like I did yesterday that I still wonder, why did I get to live and others have to die? And I'm not allowed to ask that question. I've learned through work in my program that's... I don't have the right to question him. You know, my higher power, who I choose to call God. I don't have the right to ask that question. I just got to go with it and understand that tomorrow might be my day to pick up and die so that another addict can live. And I think the meetings and the friends that I've made in my life, coming to retreats and conventions and... You know, we have dances and this, that, and the other thing. I have to cherish that. I have to hold on to every moment of that because tomorrow that might be gone. I am no better than any other addict. I am no more superior. And I can pick that shit back up. The minute I put my program down, I'll pick that stuff right back up. And I know that. And I hold on to that because I've seen it happen. And if that's what's got to happen so that somebody else can live, then that's what's in my book, and I have to accept that. Just for today, I choose not to pick up. I choose to apply some things in my life that I've learned, and I choose to cling to people that need me as much as I need them. You know, we read something today, sponsorship is a two-way street. I can't tell you what my sponsees have done for me that I wasn't able to do for myself. And for that, I'm very, very thankful. I am very glad to be here tonight, despite people that were supposed to be here that aren't. They're always going to be in my thoughts. They're always going to be in my prayers. And like my friend said to me earlier, look at what you have instead of what you're missing out on and be grateful for that. And he's absolutely right, you know. And I'm really glad that everybody is here and I'm meeting new people. I'm really glad I got asked to share, and that's all I have.
I'd like to introduce the second speaker, Eric, from the Based on Attraction group of NA in the Lower Mountain Highlands area. Yeah.
Man, that wouldn't be good. Hi, family. My name is Eric, and I'm an addict. And first and foremost, I need to thank God for His grace and His mercy and the program of Narcotics Anonymous for my life. Because without God's grace and mercy, I'd truly be lost. Campfire and everything, I kind of feel like Survivor Series, Wanawatu or something, you know what I mean? I just hope nobody gets voted off of this one. I want to thank the Lower Mountain Highlands Area Unity Retreat for asking me to share my experience, strength, and hope, which still to this day blows my mind that somebody would ask me to share anything as far as anything anybody wanted to hear. And this is a little overwhelming, you know, and it's not overwhelming to me because I'm afraid of any one of you jokers here. You know, it's just overwhelming because of the responsibility that the God of my understanding has placed on me tonight to carry a message of strength, hope, and experience in a fellowship that I'm very, very passionate about. You know, I stand here right now under a blanket of freedom that was given to me by God's grace and the program of Narcotics Anonymous, and I'm at no misconception about the fact that, you know, like, this is not a joke. You know, this program to me is not a joke. It's not a social event. It's not a dating service. You know, I come here, you know, on a consistent basis because it's about doing warfare against a disease which the literature told me that is incurable, progressive, and fatal, and that I'll never, you know, completely recover from. You know, that from now to the day I die, I'll always have the disease of addiction. The only question and investment that I can make is whether this disease be under arrest or active. You know, in order to know where I'm going, I have to, you know, like talk about or remember, and the literature has taught me this, from whence I came. You know, I'm originally from Newark, New Jersey, and all I'm going to say in the way of a drug lord is that, you know, I used too much for too long. I lived by a set of unspiritual principles that was dictated by my disease of addiction that always caused me humiliation, harm, pain. I came to the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, institutionalized, hostile, confrontational, aggressive, thought I had all the answers, and I also lived by the non-existent virtues that we hear about. Men don't cry, you know, never say die, don't surrender to anything, you know, and I come to the program of Narcotics Anonymous, you know, the first time, you know, and I need to say that right at the top of my gratitude list is the New Jersey Department of Corrections. You know, I need to say that because the last time that I got out of prison, the New Jersey Department of Corrections told me that in order to be paroled, that I needed to go to a 12-step halfway house, you know, because so many of the charges that I had was drug-related, that I needed to go to a 12-step halfway house. And at that particular time, you know, like, I really didn't care where I went as long as I was outside the prison. So I went to this 12-step halfway house, and it was my first real introduction to the program of Narcotics Anonymous. Because at that particular house, you had to make so many meetings, just like any other halfway house. You had chores and duties and responsibilities. But the big thing was meetings and recovery-based literature and this, that, and the other. And I need to say at that time, you know what I'm saying, I had not made a decision, a solid decision, that, you know, like recovery was an option or getting clean or even stopping using altogether was an option that I had in my life. But at that particular time, I went into that 12-step halfway house, and I manipulated the program. You know, I did my chores, I made my meetings, and everything that was required of me. But when, you know, the 12 months that I was there was over and they gave me my parole certificate, I went back out and I did the same thing that I always did, and I got what I always got. You know, they asked me to speak on the topic of recovery as an inside job, you know, and you know, it's really ironic because that's exactly where I am in my process and my journey of recovery. I'm talking about, you know, like knowing from coming to meetings and participating in my own recovery, doing step work, and you know that the process of recovery for me is about reality, discovery, and understanding. And one of the things that I discovered was all of the things that I had learned and used in active addiction in the way to get one more were learned behaviors. I'm talking about rationalization, lying, stealing, procrastination, you know, and all of those different things were characteristics that my disease used in order to get me to continue on with my process. So in order to, you know, adapt the lifestyle of recovery, I had to get in touch with some things. And one of the first things that I had to get in touch with was that the pain was great and the bottom was low when I first got here. I showed up in the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous, and I would not let y'all know this at that time, but now, you know, knowing the three indispensables, honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness, when I showed up at the program of Narcotics Anonymous, I felt like a pile of shit with a face on it, because my disease had humiliated me at every instance. I mean, took me to levels that I never thought I would have to live in. It caused me to do things that I always said that I would never do. And I showed up, you know, like in bad condition. I'm talking about on the inside, you know. But I could always put that mask on, and I could always make it seem like I was all right with who I was. But when nobody else was around and the lights was out and I had to just be with me, I felt like a pile of shit with a face on it. So I come into the process of recovery, and one of the things that I surrendered to early on is that the last ass whooping that I had out there in active addiction was really enough. I had to get that first because, you know, the second line of the first step says that staying clean must come first. So the first thing I had to do was get in my head that I had enough, that enough was enough. I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. I was sick and tired of doing all the things that I never said I would do. I was sick and tired of humiliating myself at every instance. And after being here for a little while, and I looked up the word humiliation, humiliation is the act of being humbled against your will. And I can remember so many times that I was humbled against my will. Standing in line and the cop and the people didn't like the way I was talking and I was moving around, so they told me to get out the line and get in the back. And I did it. Humiliated. You know what I'm saying? Some of the things that I had to do to my family, to my friends, and people that I thought I loved humiliated me. You know, and I come to the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous, and they're talking all of this stuff about spiritual principles, about the message is hope and the promise is freedom. And I learned in the process of being here that freedom that they talk about isn't free. You know, there were some things required of me. And one of the things that was required of me was to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I had had enough. You know, I had had enough. So they told me just keep coming back. And that I would do some changing in spite of myself. And one of the things that my first sponsor said to me, he said, you know, Eric, I want you to do one thing as far as me being your sponsor. And I said, you know, this is going to be pretty easy. He said one thing, you know, and I could count. And I said, what's that one thing? And he said, change everything. You know, and in the beginning, that seemed a monumental task for me because I was a 20-year heroin addict, you know, that had been out there and did everything and just humiliated myself on all levels. How does an addict after 20 years change everything? You know, but the first page of the basic text says the simplicity is the key. It's a simple program for complicated people. You know, we're the ones that complicate the literature. The literature is not complicated. You know, so after being abstinent for a little while, you know, and just keep coming to meetings and staying clean, some of this foreign language that y'all was talking about in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous begin to come clear to me. I started to identify with people coming in the rooms, experienced members sharing their strength, open experience, talking about situations and circumstances that they had been through and where their disease had took them through and how they got to the other side. These people were still smiling. These people had a particular glow and was looking like, you know, they was living life on some kind of life's terms. And, you know, I'm sitting there overwhelmed at how this happened because the stories that they were telling and the situations and circumstances they were talking about were mine, were things that I had been through, feelings that I had, moments of feeling like shit that I had been through. But these people were standing there smiling, and they were talking about God is good and honesty and surrender and acceptance, you know? And I thought these were qualities that I didn't have and couldn't use, you know? But I found out, you know, through sponsorship and taking some of the suggestions that was said in the rooms, that, you know, I had practiced acceptance before. When that guard slammed the cell and said, your ass ain't eating today, I practiced some acceptance because I was powerless. You know, when the judge said in the courtroom, you know, Mr. Johnson, you've been in front of me many a times before and you're going to jail, I surrendered and went to jail. You know what I'm saying? I found out that a lot of the things that they were talking about in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous in reference to principles, I had practiced, but I had a distorted sense of practicing those principles. So I found out that, you know, one of the things that was needed for me was to remove all of those non-existent virtues that I brought in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, to get rid of those unspiritual principles and learned behaviors that I had brought into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous and placed them with them and replaced them with the positive principles of Narcotics Anonymous. Honesty, open-mindedness, willingness, surrender, acceptance, patience, tolerance, all of those good things. I had to internalize them. And I found out, you know what I'm saying, that like Michelle said, Michelle, I want to thank you for sharing that clear message of Narcotics Anonymous that, you know, the drug was only a symptom of my disease. You know what I'm saying? Narcotics Anonymous talks about a lot of threes: honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. Stay away from people, places, and things. It talks about the disease being threefold: mental, spiritual, physical. It talks about ideas, attitudes, and behaviors. And that was where I had to get to. The ideas, the attitudes, and behaviors. Because I had been out there for so long and I was so accustomed to stinking thinking. I was so accustomed to thinking that whatever idea came to my head was a good one and that whatever idea came to my head, I had to act on. I learned in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous in the fellowship that no is a complete sentence. And I not only had to learn to tell myself that, I had to learn to tell other people that. Because I was that dude that came into the rooms thinking, you know, from being institutionalized for so long and hostile and aggressive, that I was a badass. And somebody told me, well, if you were so bad, how come that little cellophane bag of dope whooped your ass to the point where you here with us now? You know what I'm saying? And it was kind of like Arsenio Hall's show, made you want to go, hmm. You know what I'm saying? Lights are coming on now. You know, these things are starting to make sense to me. You know, what was being shared in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous in the way of doing better for myself and getting in touch with this thing called recovery and this gift called life. You know, for me today, recovery is an action program. You know, it's an action program. I no longer have the ability to come in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous and not take none of the suggestions, not get involved, because this is a gift of life. If the gift is being given to me, and it just says that I need to take some simple suggestions like getting a sponsor, getting a home group, getting involved in my process of recovery, you know, then I need to do those things. Because I tell you what, if I was out there using, any one of you in this amphitheater right now, I didn't have to know you, but if you had something, I'd come over, I'd talk to you, know my name, serial number, birth certificate, where I was from, this, that, and other. I'm going to strike up a conversation with you so that I can get the next one. But then I come into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, and all of a sudden, I want to be shy. You know what I'm saying? I don't want nobody to know who I am. Y'all all know who I am. I'm you. You know what I'm saying? And that's the beauty of this program. There's nobody's in here better than nobody else. There's no big eyes and little U's in the program of Narcotics Anonymous. We're all in here with first names, and all our last name is added. And that's the beauty of this program, you know what I'm saying? And the therapeutic value of one addict helping another, for me, is without parallel. Because who better to tell me and how this thing works through having experienced the same pains and the same things that I've experienced in the way of humiliation and degradation and being out of control, life being unmanageable, then y'all. You know what I'm saying? Because the person sitting across the desk from me to call themselves a counselor that went to Penn State College and never used nothing that wants to tell me about what it feels like, you know, to deal with the disease of addiction, I ain't trying to feel them. I ain't trying to feel them. They can't tell me nothing. Because they ain't been where I've been. But you guys have. So I came in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, and I started to internalize some things about this program. You know, I'm a sponsor that has a sponsor that has a sponsor. And I need to say that I'm an NA purist. I do not need no other fellowship to help me deal with my disease of addiction and to recover by. Because Narcotics Anonymous closed all the doors on my disease of addiction by telling me that we celebrate clean time. And clean time is total and complete abstinence from all mood, mind, altering chemicals, including alcohol. Doors closed. Doors closed. I have nowhere that I can go. You know what I'm saying? So anything that my disease suggested me to do, you know, in the way of a mood or mind altering chemical, you know what I'm saying? Narcotics Anonymous already told me that I'm doing the wrong thing. And I stand here before you today, and I participate in my recovery on a daily basis because I'm at no misconception about the fact that, you know, I'm still capable of using at any given time. You know, my clean date is February 10th, 2003. But you know what? I just got today, just like everybody else. You know what I'm saying? It's a one day at a time program, just for the day. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You know, and yesterday is gone already. All I can do is try to be the best person that I can be, and I do that by basing all of my decisions, my actions, my ideas, and my behaviors on the spiritual principles that I've internalized from the program of Narcotics Anonymous. I'm talking about, you know, doing a reconstruction on the inside and bringing that outside and doing what the 12 steps says, taking that everywhere I go. I'm not talking about just coming to the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous or coming, you know, around the Unity Retreat and practicing spiritual principles. I'm talking about going to work. I'm talking about when I go somewhere to a store to purchase some stuff, and you know how you had them cashiers that really don't have skills to be dealing with the public, but they're behind the cash register anyway, and they're giving you the, you know, because you asked for, you know, four quarters out of a dollar change you got, it's a big problem for her. Do I get confrontational again and curse her out and tell her where she needs to be? Or do I practice a principle that the program says, you know what I'm saying? And I need to tell you, you know what I'm saying, that right now, you know, I work at a job that I hate. And I've been on this job, what, a little over 2 years or something like that. I hate this job. And it's not the job itself. It's the people at my job. But you know what? I go to that job every day. I give them my honest 8 hours or 10 hours work at that job. And then when I leave there, I leave the people and everything about that job there until the next morning. You know, but when I get up to do my prayer in the morning, you know, that job is involved in my prayer. Because I pray that I go in there with an attitude of patience and tolerance, and that I don't get confrontational or walk in there filled with resentments, because I know that the job that I do, I'm not being paid a fair wage for doing that job. But the gratitude piece that I've internalized in this program in Narcotics Anonymous is that I'm still paying my bills every month. My telephone is still on. There's some grub in my refrigerator today. You know what I'm saying? And those are the positive things that I have to look at, you know, and you know, that's change for me. That's change. That's internalizing the program of Narcotics Anonymous, because prior to coming to Narcotics Anonymous, I was the guy whose life was based in negativity. If I walked up to some people having a conversation and the conversation was of negative nature, I would interject myself in that conversation and become the board of directors of that negative conversation. But today, one of the things that I've learned and internalized in the program of Narcotics Anonymous is the best thing that I can take with me anywhere I go is a positive attitude. Because my sponsor always tells me, you go where your focus is. If I'm locked and loaded in negativity, that's exactly what I'm going to find. If I'm locked and loaded in positivity and spiritual principles and doing the right thing for the right reasons, 9 times out of 10, that's what I'm going to find. Now, I'm not going to stand here and try to make it sound like because of the program of Narcotics Anonymous, my life is all peaches and cream, that I live on some crystal staircase, because I still go through situations and circumstances that are not comfortable, that I do not particularly care for, and that at times, you know, like I think about doing some things that are like off the square of Narcotics Anonymous. But again, internalization, one of the things that I learned in Narcotics Anonymous is that thought does not require action. I could think all the crazy shit I want to think, but the minute that I act on it is when the problem comes in. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't know about nobody else. You know, like, I'm an addict, and I'm an addict in every sense of the word. And I have a little over 3 years continual clean and serene time in this process, but I still think about getting high. I still think about getting high. I was sitting watching the Contender series, and this is something that my support group does. We watch Contender series. I'm sitting in my apartment with my remote control in my hand, then been to work, had a nice day, been to the meeting. I'm sitting there watching the Contender series, preparing myself for next day's work. I was all set, and I'm sitting there with the remote control, and all of a sudden it pops in my mind, the blood drawing back in the syringe. Before, that would have rattled me or something like that. But I found out, you know what I'm saying, and I'm no misconception about the fact that I'm an addict. You know, I'm not going to sit around thinking about splitting fucking atoms. I'm not a scientist, man. You know what I'm saying? I'm an addict. I'm going to think about using from time to time. You know what I'm saying? But I don't have to dwell in those thoughts that come in my head. You know what I'm saying? And that's one of the things that I've internalized in this program is that, you know, I'm still going to think about it. And football season is coming up. And I sit back and watch football games. And last year, you know, them Steelers won the Super Bowl and stuff, you know what I'm saying? But and I'm sitting there watching games, and the Eagles is just getting waxed all over the place and whatnot. And I'm sitting there watching the game, and a commercial comes on, and it's a commercial about diapers. But you know what commercial played in my head? This bud's for you. You know what I'm saying? And I wasn't a big drinker when I was out there. But what I'm saying is my disease still speaks to me. And the literature tells me that the disease is cunning, baffling, and insidious. You know, my disease right now is still looking for ways and means to get more. So I need to do maintenance on my process of recovery on a daily basis. Because while I'm sitting in the meeting, hearing people share their strength, hope, and experience, participating in my process of recovery, my disease is right next to me doing push-ups, waiting for me to get to a point or a situation or circumstance that I haven't sat in a meeting and listened to and got some experience on to come up in my life so it can take my ass right back to where it took me before. You know, I'm no misconception about the fact that the program of Narcotics Anonymous, man, is a gift, man. In the way that I continue to live under this blanket of freedom that the program of Narcotics Anonymous has given me is by continual participation in my own recovery. You know, and I don't let nobody get in the way of that. All of my friends today are in the program of Narcotics Anonymous. All of my role models today are members of the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous. I can't afford to have role models that or friends that have any variation, you know, on that, you know, because I was told that, you know, it takes 5 years for you to get your brain cells back a little bit in this process. I don't have 5 years yet, and I'm not disputing the literature, you know, and I'm not disputing the suggestions that I get up in here. So if it takes 5 years for me to get some brain cells back, I still got work to do. You know, and I love this program in Narcotics Anonymous, man. You know, in the program in Narcotics Anonymous, I found out that, you know, it's people that are in this fellowship that are willing to walk through hell with me as long as I'm not using. If I decide to want to walk through hell and use at the same time, I'm sure they would tell me that I'd have to do it by myself. You know? For me today, it's about keep coming back, man, and I say to the newcomers, man, you know what I'm saying? It was like real important for me to make that initial decision that, you know, I had had enough. The last ass whooping was that bad, because if I didn't, you know, that would be holding on to a reservation that just maybe, just if, you know, just but. You know, I can do this or I can do that. And you know what all happens. You know, they say everything after but is bullshit. If only, you know, I used on the weekends. My disease suggests shit like that. You know, but I have to know that by no means can I put any mood, mind, altering chemical in my body, because the literature says that anything I put in will release my disease all over again. You know, for me today, you know, the program of Narcotics Anonymous is not just about coming to meetings and not just about being abstinent. You know, there was a point when that was all I could really focus on, was just not picking up one for today. You know, but I've got past the obsession and the compulsion to consistently, you know, want to put something in my system or change the way I feel. You know, I've learned in this fellowship how to deal with the particular feelings that I have. Because once I got clean and became abstinent, I found out that, you know, there's a whole host and a full range of emotions and feelings that I'm going to have to deal with. You know, people can actually say things to me that hurt my feelings. When I got here, you know what I'm saying, I was that type of person that didn't care. And basically, you couldn't hurt my feelings. And if you happened to be unfortunate enough as to, you know, like, upset me, I was going to show you exactly how upset you made me. And we weren't going to like it, you know what I'm saying? And 9 times out of 10, it was going to, in the lines of spiritual principles, I find out that I don't have so many man-made storms, or I don't create so many circumstances and situations that's going to cause me some more pain, that I don't have to end up sitting somewhere, you know, by myself, saying to myself, damn, I could have handled that differently. The program of Narcotics Anonymous has implemented some things into my life that are so simple but are so powerful that help me from creating the same shit that I always did. Narcotics Anonymous, man, is like real powerful. And, you know, like this journey today that I'm on, man, is about how am I living? About how do I feel about me? You know, how do I feel about the day that I'm about to end in a few hours before I get ready to go to sleep? Did I live right today? Did I help somebody? Did I treat people like I want to be treated, even if they didn't treat me that way? You know, that's the program in Narcotics Anonymous manifesting itself in my life so that I can feel good about me. Because for so long, I had that mask on that wouldn't let you know that I felt like a piece of shit about who I was, and that all of the actions and behaviors that I exuded were all a facade so that I can hide the shame, the guilt, and the pain that was going on in my life consistently. You know, I still got a long way to go, you know, and my sponsor told me, you know, like, nobody's going to walk up to me one day and say, you know, like, Eric, you did a good job. Here's your certificate. You're no longer an addict. You've graduated. That's not going to happen. You know? So he told me to remember, it's not the end of the journey that matters, but the journey that's going to matter in the end. It's about how you live it. You know, the program in Narcotics Anonymous today, the understanding that I have is it's not only about staying clean from all mood, mind, art, and chemicals one day at a time. It's also about improving the quality of my life and my character at the same time. You know, because all I've ever really wanted to be was a good person, but I had got such a sense of distortion in my thinking and way of living that it had got to a point that I couldn't turn around. I had to continue to perpetuate that facade that I had built up. You know, the literature talks about the message is hope and the promise is freedom, that we're now free to stop living in the fantasy that we created about ourselves and for ourselves, and we were free to be the person that we really are, just ourselves, loving and caring individuals in the program of Narcotics Anonymous, trying to stay clean one day at a time and trying to improve the quality of your life by active assertion in your program. You know, this is where I'm living and breathing at today. You know what I'm saying? I'm still understanding the fact that, you know, any given day I can use. You know, I've already seen people and heard people share with multiples of years clean time that for some particular reason they decided that getting high was a good idea. You know, and I pray and I thank God and the program of Narcotics Anonymous that I'm at no misconception about, you know, the fact that, you know, my misery can be started all over again. You know, the message is hope and the promise is freedom, man, and I'm grateful to the freedom that I live under today and the program of Narcotics Anonymous. You know, for me as an action program, I'm talking about participating consistently one day at a time in my program of recovery and knowing that I don't have the ability to come to the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous and loiter with the intent to recover. You know, I have to get active. I have to do some things. I have to buy a book and read the literature. You know, my whole support group and my sponsor teaches the literature. You know, and I don't want you to think, you know, that I sit at home in my apartment with a smoking jacket on and a pipe in my mouth reading the basic text, because I don't. But I do read that book because that book is about me and it was written by people just like me. You know, it's my roadmap and my solution to the dilemma that I had placed myself in for so long. And I continually believe that and I internalize that the only way that I can continue to stay clean one day at a time is actively participate in my program in Narcotics Anonymous. You know, the action for me today is that I can't sit in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous and expect my ship to come in. You know what I'm saying? I have to swim out to meet it. So to all you newcomers, you know, if there's anybody here newer than me, get involved and participate in your own recovery. because we don't get it by osmosis. You don't get it by getting a sponsor to share some real Gucci shit, you know, and it's not going to seep out of his head into yours. You got to open the book and you got to participate. Because if it was about getting high and you were still locked and loaded, you know, you get involved. You know, the gift is life, man. And the life that I'm living today, man, is like beyond my wildest fantasies, you know. And I attribute that to the program of Narcotics Anonymous manifesting it in my life and God's grace and mercy. And I found out that God's grace is all the things that he give me that I do not deserve. You know, and I don't deserve the life that I'm living right now today. And I don't deserve this life because of the many times that I put it on the crap table. But his mercy allows me to stay here one day at a time. All I need to do is keep a positive mind and participate in my process of recovery and internalize, you know, all that I can about this. Because this disease is so cunning, baffling, insidious, and it doesn't just come at you one way. You know what I'm saying? It comes at you all kinds of ways. Tries to get you in a situation or circumstance that you can't handle. And then that shitty committee, you know, that one person in the shitty committee that always says, fuck it, let's get high. You know, he's still there. You know what I'm saying? Right now you got him under arrest because you're participating actively in your process of recovery. And I pray and I hope that everybody continues to do that because you know what? I'm going to show up and continue to grow up. Thanks for allowing me to share.